I'm here with Julie Przinski, longtime KRFY board member, volunteer, and events coordinator, and soon to take on a new role as broadcaster. Hi, Julie. Welcome.
Thank you, Susie. It's great to be here.
Always fun to talk with you. Well, we're here to talk about an exciting creative move on your part to become a KRFY broadcaster. But before we get to that, it's really exciting. Let's get a little bit of background first before we hear about this new show. From my memory, you've been involved as long as I have, or close to, which is going on 10 years. So what brought you to get involved? What sparked your interest in being involved in a community radio station?
That's a good question. I've always loved and appreciated independent media, public media especially. And when I heard that Sandpoint was getting a community radio, I had always promised myself I would get involved if it ever came to town, and it was time to get involved. So yes, I think we did start about the same time when we met at the library for that meeting that kind of propelled us forward and got us where we are today.
I remember that meeting, and it was a turning point from are we going to make it to yes, we are. And I have to say, you jumped in feet first. Were very important. And from the beginning, you've been doing all kinds of things. I think at one point in time, we even put together a bookkeeping system and really got the business office kind of launched up. So thank you for getting involved. And what you've been doing over the years has evolved, and now you're taking another big leap. But what did you do first besides, did you become a board member pretty early on?
No. I think first I was just a volunteer, a volunteer committed to doing whatever needed to be done. And that's when we were putting the office together and pursuing underwriters. I know I was involved in the early underwriter pursuit or drive. And I just wanted to help wherever we needed it. So I have done many things, volunteers and events. Now I'm involved with events, and Jack and I are doing quite a bit of work on this year's events.
I think that we could easily give you Volunteer of the Century or the Decade Award, because it's that kind of attitude of I'll help wherever the help is needed that makes a volunteer-driven radio station, such as a community radio station, such as KRFY, work. It makes it possible. And as you know, all of our broadcasters are volunteers. We have some paid small staff, but other than that, so briefly, a nonprofit community radio station is different. What made you think it was different?
That was new to me. I didn't realize it was different than a national public radio type station, in that it really centers around the community and reaches out just to your local community. And that makes it very special, because I've always lived in small towns and had to listen to media from many, many miles away, especially up here in Idaho, listening to the Boise News. And it just feels important to have local access, local information. And I do like that about the community radio station setup.
Well, you kind of describe the mission of a community radio station. And once you joined the board, how did you see that mission drives the decision-making of a board of a nonprofit community radio station?
Because radio is the kind of medium it is, it can reach people at no cost. So that's the locality part that I really like, is you get to listen to things nearby that are happening nearby. And making the community cohesive, uniting the community, and just including each other in each other's lives. I really think that's the beauty of community radio.
We have a wonderful board of directors, and I call it a working board, and you see where the need is. You've stepped into the events coordinator. You've stepped into the underwriting support. That's what boards do if they're a working board. And in a small organization such as ours and a small community, we need a working board. So we're very, very fortunate. I think that it is one of the cornerstones of what has been the success of this station. And, you know, the board helps us stay fiscally responsible. The board looks at what the community is asking for, and you know, everyone has just stepped in such a great way. So thank you for your service on the board. And just for a minute, let's talk about some of the events that you can talk about the events that might be coming up even. It's been different with our restrictions with COVID, but maybe that's going to change. We're always hoping,
aren't we? Mm-hmm. Well, the events this year, it feels like things will move back to more normal events for us. Of course, we'll still be aware of the big events with a lot of people in a small place. I don't believe that kind of event will happen, but we'll be going to different markets. We'll be out in the community. We'll be combining with other nonprofits like we really like to do, and being involved in their events as well and helping them along and broadcasting it like this. I've been hearing about the wildlife movies coming up this weekend. So that those kind of things are fun events that we do as well. Our pledge drive will be coming up early in the summer. And the auction, of course, is in the fall. Those are our two big fundraisers, and our end of the year donation drive as well. So those things will be going on like normal, but I think we'll be out in the community a lot more. I think we'll be, like I said, joining other nonprofits in their events.
And you mentioned partnerships. Those are sponsorships. I know that we're going to be a sponsor with a 3/4 Minus Cyclotour, which is being hosted by Seringo Cyclery and Ponderay Peddlers. We're also part of the Chafe 150. We have a refreshment station out at Northside, which has turned into really fun.
And that is fun.
And as you mentioned, the Friends of Scotchman's Peaks wildlife movies that they're having at the Panada this weekend. We're also sponsors of that. So we're always looking for ways to integrate into the community and support each other, and we do a lot of interviews with the nonprofits and the organizations that make this community so special. So one of the other things, I guess that's probably all we need to talk about before we get into the really fun thing. You've got a great voice for radio, by the way, and you're going to have a show. Yes. Why don't you tell us all about it?
Well, finally, I've been stewing over this since I joined the station. And when I realized the morning show had been on for 8 years, I thought, oh my gosh, I better get moving. So we are doing, Julie Calamine and I have teamed up, and we're going to be doing the Garden Life show. And it's going to be on Tuesday mornings once a month. And we'll be bringing experts in to talk about things that are happening in that garden, hopefully specifically that month, so that people can think about, oh, I need to go out and do this. If they say prune now, like our first show will be on trees. So a perfect time of year to do that. Each month will be something happening in the garden and an expert to tell us how to make it happen better, I guess. So it should be really fun. Julie Calamine is co-hosting, and I do have a little mission I thought maybe I'd share. It's Garden Life, a show about gardening as the antidote to our world today, a way to honor and embrace our Mother Earth, nourish and restore our families, and a tonic for our community. And that kind of hits it on the head. The antidote being something you do to feel better about things. And honoring Mother Earth, we always need to do that. And also feeding and nourishing our families and communities through the garden, the outside world. And a perfect segue into the Tuesday morning shows, because they already do all these outdoor activities. And if they had an antidote for the stresses of life today, it would be get outside, and ours is get in the garden. There you have it.
That is fantastic. It just makes me smile, because I know you have the most one of the most beautiful gardens in town.
Thank
you. I think possibly you have grown this idea from spending so much time in your own garden. It has been part of the spark that has brought you to this place of having a show. You want to share what you know.
Yes, of course. I had a lot of jobs out in gardens. I was lucky enough to work for Lois Wythe at the Peaceful Kingdom, and just had so many lovely and fantastic experiences growing. When we were in shutdown and things were just slowing down so much for the world and everything around us, and the reality that things were changing forever, I really thought deeply about how to make life worth living, I guess. What gives life meaning? And I kept coming back to family, community, food, good food, time together. And those are all garden and outdoor things that maybe give my life more meaning, for sure. But hopefully I'll be able to relay that to the listening public.
Well, it's going to be great. The one thing I think about this is it could be its own show, and it could be every week, because for now, fine, once a month. But I have a feeling that your creative process is going to kick in big time, and you're going to be able to think of all these things. You probably already have. 12 shows is maybe every other week or something, but there's so much information, and it can become a support network for people that maybe it might be inspiration for folks that have thought, I want a garden, but I don't know how. So who knows what the future holds, but we are excited. And you mentioned the first show. Why don't you give us a little precursor for it? Who are your guests? That's coming up March 1st. That's next week, Tuesday. So what can we expect? Who's coming on?
Rich Del Carlo and Kyle Nagy are coming on. And of course, Julie Calamine is with me. And we're interviewing them about pruning trees and tree health and fruit trees, ornamental trees, shrubs, just all the special things that those two gentlemen have learned through their lifetime of tree care. So they'll be sharing it with us. And Julie and I have already done the interview, and it just sounds great. Those guys are terrific. I'm real excited to put it on.
So Carl Nagy is
he's with the University of Idaho Organic Agriculture Center out there at down below Schweitzer, and it's an apple orchard, 63 varieties of apples. Unbelievable.
And organic too.
Yes, organic. So he's got all that experience. And of course, Rich has had Peregrine Tree Service for many years, and has started as a young man, and so many years of experience. He's taken a couple of trees out of our place here, and he's great. He mm-hmm. knows everything there is to know about trees and the creatures that live in them. He's a bird lover too.
The birds, right? He's usually on for birds.
Yes, he usually is.
This time we're going to hear about pruning, and pruning is a February, March kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Perfect timing. Time to get out.
Why is that? Because there's still snow on the ground. Why would we prune that early in the year? Are we going to find out on Tuesday?
Well, we'll find out. But the short answer is when the trees are dormant. You prune so that you don't encourage the growth, although pruning does encourage the growth, which we'll learn on Tuesday too. So winter is the time to prune fruit and ornamental trees, unless they're spring blooming, then you have to wait till after they bloom. So there's always rules.
Well, that sounds exciting. I need to learn about that because it's something I need to do with my two apple trees and my two plum trees. So can you give us a peek into the next couple shows after that, after your March launch of Garden Life?
Okay, so it's just like looking at the spring chores or duties coming up. The next show will be in April, and we'll have Diane Green on. She'll be talking about seed starting, which is, she's had her gardens and her business for 30 years. So she's very experienced in all of the garden duties and jobs. So she'll be on next. And then I think we'll have like spring bulbs or summer bulbs, excuse me, dahlias and those kind of things with another farmer's market vendor. I feel that the farmer's market is going to be the place where we find most of our experts, because we have such a fantastic market and so much talent, those people and the vegetables. And it's just there, it's going to be a fantastic resource. You're right, it is endless. It could go any direction, any way. And then also the school gardens, you know, that's a big thing. Julie Calamine interviews them all spring long. So that'll be in our radar as well. And the community garden. So we are developing as a community all these community opportunities to share in gardening. So hopefully we'll bring all them in too.
That's so positive. Another thing that I thought of that I noticed is at the farmers market in the summer, there are more and more young gardeners that are doing it big time. They're out in Clark Fork, they're down south in Kokolala, but these are young couples oftentimes that are dedicated to deep gardening. I don't know how you explain that, but they are professional farmers. They're the new generation of farmers. That would be a fun interview to get a couple of them in, just to talk about what it's like to be a farmer nowadays, you know?
Yes. That's a very good point. A lot of young farmers, it seems like it swings back and forth all the time. And maybe where we are right now is a chance to understand what is important, to kind of push away all the unimportant stuff and realize that, you know, growing your food, feeding your family, being part of a community.
It's very exciting. It's the best. And when we talk about positive inspiration, the show, your ideas, but the whole growing community and making our own food or growing our own food and being in harmony with nature and the seasons. I don't know. I think you're right. It's a perfect antidote to maybe what we've been experiencing the last couple of years, but in general in our lives. So fantastic. I'm so glad that you've decided. How has the training been? Because you have to not only have good ideas, but you have to run the board and be a broadcaster.
Yes. Well, I am not a broadcaster. I'm becoming a broadcaster. It's very painful to listen to yourself after you've done an interview, because you're just so critical of yourself. And I do have to get over that, because I'm sure I won't be listening to the first couple of broadcasts after we actually, Julie and I did them. So I'm excited about this new chance for me to learn how to present myself. Mm-hmm. And that's always good. So a lot to look forward to.
That's a good way of putting it, present yourself. I always, when I'm training broadcasters, I say, just keep in mind, it's not about you. It's about the listener and what they're experiencing, what they're hearing, what they take away. So it is a learning process, but I have no doubt. I have 100% confidence in what you're bringing, and you're going to do a great job. We're very excited to have you, and thank you for stepping up to this kind of volunteering, your new volunteering segment at KRFY.
Thanks, Susie. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity.
And just a footnote, over the next couple of months, we're hoping to offer some new trainings. We're not sure yet. It has to do with how things unfold in our community, and we can do it in a safe and responsible way. But thank you so much, Julie Przinski, newest broadcaster at KRFY, bringing Garden Life, a new segment, into the Tuesday morning show, which will air its first segment on March 1st. And thank you for joining me today, Julie. It's been fun talking with you and hearing about this new endeavor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you, Susie. You're the best.
You're the best.
No, you're the best.
Okay.